They mentioned about the ACME program, and that's probably really since the beginning of my journey with God. It sort of reminds me of prayer group. You know, all the scriptures I heard are saying, do this, do that, pay attention, listen to what I'm saying. And I tried to. So I remember visiting with one of the sisters of St. Joseph, and telling her that I was pretty upset that everything I read about the ACME said that I had an ACME college degree. That was what happened. I'm a laboratory. Started at the age of 18. So why do I have to be a mechanical engineer in order to join this program in pastoral ministry in the academy? Doesn't make sense. Of course, I grew up in a shop making cars, but I didn't see the connection. So anyway, she called me at work one day at the post office about a month later. She said, good news, good news. You don't have that degree now. They're going to open it up. But don't call me up because they don't have the office. I'll tell you another day. Okay. So I tried to contain myself for 2 hours. Then I called them up and I said, hey, I would like to go through the program. Every time I read this, I hear God saying, it's you. You need to do this. Hurry up. Get with it. And poor Phillips, the secretary, said, now, Rose, you know, I said, I know. Put my name down, please. But she did. And she called me the next day and said, you know what? They changed the rules last night. I said, was that so? So I began the 4-year study with the man going through the academy and 2 months later, 3 months later. And it was so uplifting and so encouraging. And I remember after 4 years, the time that the guys were ordained, and they wanted to boycott bishops. It's okay. You guys be good deacons and put out some rules, and we'll get a job done. And they did. And then they did have a special ceremony for us. But that's just the beginning. So anyway, I'm doing some parish work, I'm on some committees for the diocese, I'm traveling around, and it's all God's way of educating me. I didn't have the opportunity for college, but God gave me years of study, day by day, and still does. So anyway, I got up this one morning, foggy morning, hot August day, you can almost see your hand in front of your face, you know, one of those kind of days. So I decided I'm out of the Lord, and I'm certainly upset with God. I need to take a walk. Up the hill. I have my favorite day on the hill, I'm on the hill where I can sit and pray, and I spend a lot of time up on the hill. I think Tabby's down there once a week. So anyway, I climb up the hill, I'm angry at the world, and I remember how foggy, and there wasn't a sound of voice I hear, or chipmunk, or bird, or nothing. Not even a beach rock song. So I come around the last bend, and I step out into this glorious sunrise. Every bird was singing, the sun was brilliant. So we talk about heaven on earth. It was perfect. And I saw it. How beautiful. Anyway, back to my galley. And I told God what I thought, told him I was upset, and that was it. I don't even remember why I was upset. Okay, but it was an important time in my life to sit there and tell God exactly what I thought. And I'm glad with such a friend I can do that. So anyway, I look at my watch, they call me, I'm going to get a shower, time to get past 10:30, I better hurry up and home. So I get back to my phone bank. He got something right there. You know, I heard him say, go to my people and help them take the next step. I went. And he said again, go to my people and help them take the next step. I went, no, what are you saying? I don't go to the next step. It's all me. I can't see it. What do you mean the next step? I got a long time to do this now. So off I go. So anyway, he continued to work with me to explain that and still does. I feel like I'm perpetually with one foot in front of the other, just waiting to prevent something. And it always means right. Thank goodness. So anyway, as time goes on, I've always reflected on that. What did it stop? And then God led me to people in events and places to help me begin to define that. So the next thing he did, he said, I'm happy to have a carrier. You know, I felt like Jeremiah, I'm too young, I don't need this job. But then I'm ready, I have another carrier. I'm going about my business. And it's time to get up one morning, 5:30. And I can't move. I can't stand up. I can't walk. And there's 3 critical things when you wake up in the morning, bathroom breakfast, and go to work. And I was still stuck in bed. My dog was in bed. So anyway, then, I get up and I thought, well, if I bounce off the dresser and grab the wall, I might get the bathroom. That worked. Then I walked a few laps around the basement where my bedroom was. The armory was still up. That wasn't happening. So I crawled up the steps, had breakfast, and there's a green thing in my leg. It's breakfast. So I got my breakfast, and I'm going to work. So I go to the mom's office, got my mail right ready, and the guys I work with are all saying to me, "You're working funny today." It's like insulting. Hey, my feet will never work again. And actually, for me going to the bathroom, and the feet went bad. This is bad. So then, I go to the world. I go on my route, I drive an hour, park and live in the business district, and I went to push the brake pedal wheel on the truck, and I had so much pain I couldn't do it. I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to wreck my truck. I'll lose my job." So I decided if I had to come back to the office, I can't do it. And then you call us out for me today. So anyway, I was pretty sure. I went to the office. The punch inspectors were there, and I thought, "Oh, I'm dead." So anyway, I talked to the ladies, and my baby would come in here. Then I went to my boss and said, "I can't go on. I don't know what's wrong." And we talked about it, and I still remember the first looked like a Walter coming at me. But then he said, "Well, then, okay. If you can at least get in the morning to work half a day, all right, somebody carry your route, you get a doctor." Fine with me. So we did. So I walked into the doctor, and he's examining my legs, and barely walking, and he says, "Push on my top of my feet, it's not like a Rice Krispies commercial. Is that half a block?" He said, "You're not going back." I said, "What do you mean I'm not going back? I'm 48. You're not a young person." He said, "You're not going back. Your arthritis is too out of control, and you cannot do that job." I said, "No. Are you ready to go to my boss, please?" So we went through that, it was in February, and he wrote the letter. I went to my postmaster, and so I had to come. And one good thing I saved with the civil service, rather than going into the federal employee retirement system, so I qualified for my disability retirement because I couldn't get any job I couldn't do with the parameters I had. And then I sat in church in the back. I've got this postmaster is driving me crazy. He's being nasty. I'm tired of fighting, and I don't feel good. Help. And he did. Within 2 months, I had my full retirement, full benefits, really. So I went right back to the same seat. I said, "Now, okay, I'll keep everyone, I'll keep mine. What's the plan?" Yeah, it's never let me down on that. And I still discovered that day by day, because right after the benefits experience, my retirement in 99, Mother Nature got kind of lacking here in the States. She had 500 people in that colonial towns, Wyoming, Bingo, Nadal, Logan, Walter there. And I came home from fishing on Sunday evening. I thought, "Well, I'm going to see CNN headline news and then I'm going to bed." And it said, "Russell Dinner." What was that? What was that? So I paced the floor for a half hour until the news came on again. If I sit down at 10 o'clock at night, I'm history. And I listened to that news about fun. And I thought, "What are you saying, God? Why is that speaking to me? I'm not sure. You know what to do?" So I called my friend Diane the next morning. I go to bed, I get up early. I wait till 9 o'clock, so I call me polite. And I called her at work, and I'm like, "The news last night said there was this big flood in West Virginia. I think God's saying do something. And I know he's not saying collect money, but collect stuff. Because when a person wipes out, in my mind, they're going to need a can opener, a bed, a dresser, a couch, and a chair. So why not collect stuff? Everybody has what they need." So she says, "Well, what about a company?" Didn't expect that answer. So I thought, "Okay, I think he still wants us to go collection." And then she said, "Look, okay, go for it." I don't know how. Back to my questions, how, what, when, where, who, what, you know, all that. And I said, "Okay." So by the time I go off the phone, walk around the house for a bit, "Oh yeah, good idea, go ahead. Call them there." Yeah, because now they always want money for permits. I don't want that money. But I want to do something. So I called all 5 municipalities in Marshall County, and all 5 mayors answered the phone personally. "Hello, got to work something in." Okay. And I take out that standard, just fine. I say, "Hey, I'd like to go to collection. Goes, what was it all this for 2001? What can we do for that neighbor in need?" And all 5 mayors said, "We can come to pictures Friday morning at 9. "Oh, okay." So I called the paper. involved in this, and like school board, the school's going to start. So we have all that, we took pictures, and everything just started flooding into us, literally. And people kept coming to volunteer. I wish I had somebody volunteer today. So they kept volunteering. But we didn't even pick up from the elevator. We didn't stay back over here and run to the warehouse, and we didn't have the warehouse, we had no garage. From 9 to noon, we didn't come from 5 to 7. And we could be here. Okay. I kept my airplane ticket from one game, one vacation. So anyway, you know, the California was fantastic. 45 tons and $6,000 a month of office in 2001. And I saw it all as such a gift of God and such a blessing. And who am I to be one to organize such a thing? I'm a farm kid. I'm a letter, I was a letter carrier. But you know, we're driving home one night for the delivery, and Diane and I were making deliveries ourselves. We're sitting there quietly, you know, late at night, driving home, thinking she's a night out. And I said, I haven't figured out, Diane. What? God shows me your days and gone to fish. You know, I can fish it. You got my number. That's why I got me. And I guess I fit picture. And I always thought that. And I was talking about one person. And he's got to figure it out. He's got it. So anyway, we keep going on. We keep collecting. From September to December, we collected another 40 tons of supplies. And I told Diane around Christmas, you better come to dinner one night. You know, your husband's working shipboard. Pick a day when, you know, you come home to dinner, and you can come to dinner. I think we need to talk and pray. I think God has a plan. And she said, okay. So in January, we get together, sit down, have dinner. Diane just bought two mediation stretches. And she finally held up her little feet and said, you've run me around so far and wear out all my shoes. That's a common one. I said, yes. So the morning of January 28, 2002, I marched into the lawyer's office and said, I need to incorporate an organization, please. And he walked me through that. And he said, now, why don't you go to the accountant and start your 501 process and your paperwork. So I was there by 10. And in 2001 and 2002, it almost seemed like a miracle that your nonprofit status came back in 3 months, not 2 years. And we were certified as a nonprofit, but we had a track record of what we did in those early months. So we started off with just six little counties, and you know, God was still leading these persons and places and things that would continue to form my understanding of poverty and disaster and the needs of people. You know, you might be staying with some people in their homes and listen to their stories and experience their lifestyles. And then the full flood of four hit our home. And people were always saying to us, what are you doing on home front? And that was always a challenge. I thought, yeah, well, everything we're doing is down away from us. You know, our short trip is 2.5 hours of delivery. The longest is 7.5. And what are we doing in home? We have people in poverty. We have people in need. But yet again, we have a lot of charities in order to pay me. But quite capable. And I don't feel that we need to repeat what anyone else does. We need to do what other people are not doing. So we continue to have a discussion and what can we do? When we had our 504, we opened a warehouse and we invited all the civic organizations to join us and start building a network. Yeah, you guys have money, we have stuff, let's work together. So they paid to buy the hand sanitizers and the towels and sheets and things that people didn't have that we could put out to people. And we built relationships with Goodwill, Salvation Army, St. Vincent Paul, and anybody else who wanted to join the process. And we continued to look for ways to engage the local community. So I learned a lot from that flood, particularly of people that would come in and say, I've never had to spend any of my life. I'm embarrassed. And I found myself being led by God to put a hand on the shoulder and say, it's not about you, honey. You had an incident. Let's see what we can do together. And, you know, I've never been outspoken with public prayer to that point, probably. But then again, God was teaching me to embrace him and to engage him. You know, I became much more comfortable with that. And I am great with it. She taught me a lot. but you know, we began to develop that. And as we went forward, I see this idea of a storehouse with building supplies. But I have a 6-bay garage that's full of couches, chairs, beds, and dressers. Where can I put a storehouse? I have no money. It's very difficult for nonprofits to survive in today's world, especially if you change the patient and then for a client outreach. So I kept saying, I like a college kid, you know. I go to God and I say, Father, not my dad, please send money to help. I just wish he'd come sooner. But anyway, you know, he kept providing for us. He kept encouraging us with the words of the people we encounter, with the money that came in when we least expected it, with the people that would give us an encouraging word, with the people that say, we're praying for you and for your organization. So anyway, gentleman from my parish comes up to me at morning mass one morning, and he's hard of hearing. And he had a loud voice, he said, I want you to look out of my garage. I said, shh. I'm talking with him. So I went down to his place of business. I said, what did you say? He says, I want you out in 2 weeks. Boy, I have 25 tons of something in my garage. That's not going to happen, buddy. Courtesy is 30 days. So I went to my board of directors, and they said, we're going to do what? I said, we're going to do 30 days. We're nuts. We've been asked to move. And if we had a handshake agreement, and where did we go? So my board starts to search. My board of directors starts to search. Everything they found, I said, not going to work. Too far away from volunteer base. Not going to work. Doesn't have a living block. Not going to work. Can't get it out in the big truck. Where do you move? So it's the last meeting with 2 weeks ago, and my board says, you make a decision tonight whether you like it or not. Okay, fine with me. So I get to my door to leave to go to the meeting, thinking, I'm kind of on the order, I'm kind of on it. In the phone rings. I've been trying to call the owner of the old grocery store that I had been making for 5 or 6 years, but saying that we use your facility because I loved it, it was perfect, Diane, I felt very strongly about it. And we kept praying that we would hear from him. He calls me. One foot out of the door, he calls. Says, need something? I said, yes, sir. You know, I looked at the building 4 or 5 months ago, and you wanted $700 a square foot for a 40,000 foot building, which is way beyond the local capacity of nonprofit. But I have been in 2 weeks, I like your building, and I can give you $500 a month to get it sooner. He says, I'll send you a contract. Ah, yes! Thank you, Lord! And we're still there. But he doesn't fix the roof either. You know, he doesn't sit. We have graduated from half their buckets of garbage cans to catch water. And, you know, we're praying again for the funding and the help of finding the building. But anyway, when we moved in there, you know, I walked through again. I thought, storehouse. We'll get our storehouse. So I built a network with the Mountain Resource Network, which connects the oversourced with the underserved. And share the goods network out of Braxton County. And maybe one of you would go to like Home Depot or kitchen cabinets and say, oh, I didn't make it correctly. Well, the colors are just not quite right. So you deny the order, the company donates to the network to get the IRS donation, and I can pay the freight to bring back to my storehouse. So that is one way we create sustainability to some degree. Kitchen cabinets, bathroom cabinets, doors, windows, flooring, and whatever else I can find cheap. And we've been able to engage our own community by offering building supplies. We feel that you shouldn't have to let your home go rotten before you can help. Because many places won't help you unless you have a lower income or you're in dire straits. We don't believe that. We believe that if we help you maintain your home, we maintain our community. And we don't have nuts and bolts, so you have to go to a hardware store, so they have a sale, and they have income. We do it together. So that's how we have structured our outreach to begin to, this is our own neighborhood, continue to build those networks where we can work together for the common good. And then, right now we're being challenged with disaster, the Amazon flood, and God has led us to build a network throughout the state in 45 counties, 68 areas in one Kentucky. in the way we feel, I don't live in Greenberg County, that's getting us. I don't live in Walden County. I don't know what happened there last night. We had the fire, the flood. Children moving home to live because of unemployment. Older adults within because of need. I don't know. So every place we have set up a contact that we call the advisor board. And I'm in constant connection with them saying, what happened in the neighborhood last night? What can we do for you? A lot of them have pantries, and they make a list when the people come in for their food, and all this needs couches, needs a bed, this needs a chair. And we call them wish lists. And they send us a wish list. And sometimes it looks like a wish list. A cold stove, you know, propane unit, a wheelchair, or something else. And God has provided those materials, and also means potentially. So we continue to pray about God sending us the amount of money we need to continue our organization, which has started 15th year now. And we're just taking care of the people. None of us are specialists. I did have a further training, and what that proved to me that the decisions that we're making as a group, as a board, the decisions I was making as a person, were okay. In spite of myself, I was doing things correctly. And all I did was say thanks, because God was so good in helping me to make those decisions and form this organization. And there's still so much work to do, but I had fun. So work may have to wait. Some work may have to wait. We have the support of our local community that when we announced about the $1,000 flood, we were able to collect $11,000 so far. And we have to make two trips a week since what happened in June. And we also are trying to tell a story. You know, when we started in 2001, I really felt Appalachian Outreach, what I was the ones about collecting stuff. And how we share it for that neighborhood need. But now I understand more deeply that the call of God is to tell a story. What's going on with our neighbors in need? How do we share from the north to the south, from the east to the west, and become one West Virginia? One people. How do we share that love and connect with each other from those who have to those who need? How do we build links? And how do we sustain links? And that's a constant question that I'm challenged with. And part of the struggle that life is. And now I think, too, that I was thinking for the last few months, you know, God, I've turned 65. I kind of like to slow down a little bit. You know, it'd be nice to accomplish it yet. But he still has a job for me. He still has a plan. And he has some community volunteers that are very skilled on computers, which I am not. And I keep saying, it's yours. Take it where you want it. And yet I still go back every day to give thanks for what is. To ask for help over my weakness and forgiveness and to say, what's the next step? And again, it's that perpetual foot in the air, waiting to land somewhere. And I remember so strongly in our prayer back home of people saying, you can't sit in your chair waiting to have a picture in your head. You have to move. And I think that's a perpetual illusion. But what I've learned the most and what I want to leave with you is the thought that each of us has a little. Let me tell you Mary Ann's story, I'll stop with that. Mary Ann was one of my early volunteers when the flood came to 01. And she came in one day to the warehouse, and she slammed her car door and threw out the trunk, and oh man, she's upset. So I walked out to her, Mary Ann, you have a problem? Yes. My co-workers don't want to share the house moves they have. They want to be yard sales. That's a shame. So I agree with them, because all they want to do is make money, and people need things. And I put my hand on the shoulder and said, oh, you know what? I just thought of something. There was somebody here 10 minutes ago. They brought the dishes. The family before them brought pots and pans. And you, I said, you have coffee pots. You know, this is it, Mary Ann. A little means a lot. You have a little, they have a little, they have a little. Together you have a lot. And it's going to work. And that became our motto. A little means a lot. And then later on, you know, I used this a lot in my writings, that I figured out that it's only together that we can make a difference for those who need us most. I can do my part, Katie's on her part, on your doing your part, but it's only together that we can do the most for those who need us. individually, we struggle. Together, the job is done. So thank you for your time. I appreciate being here with you. And God bless all.